Mel P. Babcock once said, "Opportunities do not come with their values stamped upon them. Everyone must be challenged. A day dawns quite like other days. It is a single hour a single hour comes quite like other hours. But in that day and in that hour, a chance of a lifetime faces us." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions Talk Radio with a Purpose with Jonathan and Rick. The objective of our program is to discuss with you, our listeners, thought-provoking and meaningful topics based on the Bible. This is a call-in format. We are caller-friendly, and we certainly look forward to hearing your point of view. And for those of you who may be listening for the first time, our perspective is this. We believe that there is one God, and through him there's one truth which is found in the Bible. Our purpose is to stir your thinking up along with ours as we continually search for clarity and understanding this one truth.
While we are not here to teach, we are here to seriously provoke your thinking, according to Hebrews 10:24, which is the theme for our program. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Love and good works. This provoking is encouraged by Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together. And we look to frame our comments in the context of 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 19 and 21. Quench not the Spirit, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And the only end result we seek to accomplish is to bring praise, honor, and glory to God our Father and Jesus our Lord.
And if you'd like to contact us or suggest a topic for a future program and receive a Christian Questions travel log, here's what you do.
You write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut, 06320, or check us out on the web at www.christianquestions.net. Today is August 13th, 2006. All audio and printed material are copyrighted and are the property of Christian Questions.
And folks, if you do have a Christian question or want to reopen a previously aired topic, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. So on behalf of Jonathan, my co-host.
Good morning, Rick.
And Fred, he's the man and he is behind the board.
Good morning, gentlemen.
We want to welcome you to this hour of our program. So, Jonathan, what is happening?
Well, last week, Rick, we talked about what is your hope, and we took that from 1 Corinthians 13:13. We talked about faith the week before that.
Remember, we were using the scripture that scripture now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. We're not going to talk about love, though, this week.
No, we're not.
Because we have a special program planned, although the special participants are not all here yet. We do have one guest in the studio, though, so far.
Yes, we do.
So, and it's my sister.
She's very special.
Yes, she is. She's my sister. Joy, good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
How are you?
Oh, I'm just bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Okay, you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. So, Jonathan, we're actually going to be having some of the kids from the camp we were working at this past week come into studio this morning.
Yes, that'll be fun.
We are going to be reviewing some of the week's lessons, singing a few songs, and having a good old time getting these kids up so early in the morning on a Sunday.
It's amazing we could get up this morning after that long week.
I know, but it was a great week.
It was.
So what is our subject and our scripture, and let's get this thing started.
Okay, Rick. Our question this morning is, what is your intention? And our theme text is found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge.
And Jonathan, a life well lived will be a life in which personal development has taken place in one form or another. It'll be a life that has experienced the ups and downs and the ebb and flow of daily experience, and be better for it. The Apostle Peter lived such a life. He was a man of bold character, great intention, and strong passion. He was also a man of great humility, for he had much to learn through many mistakes. So folks, stay with us this morning as we look into the life of Peter with the help of a room full of young people who are not here yet, who have just come off a week of studying his life. Peter teaches us much about living with great intention. So stay with us as we learn from him and also ask, what is your intention?
Well, we have a couple questions for consideration. Our first question is, what does it mean to live with great intention?
And secondly, where do we find strength of character, courage in forgiveness, and victory in action in the Apostle Peter's life. And those were three phrases, Jonathan, that we used throughout the week, this past week, in looking at the Apostle Peter. You know, if you remember, it wasn't that long ago that we did a two-part program on the Apostle Peter.
That's right.
And we did that at that point because we were preparing for this kids' camp.
That's right.
And so here's the fruition of that. So some of this will be, in a sense, a review, but hopefully we'll have it from a childlike perspective as we go through the program. Let's get started, though, Jonathan, with the idea of what it means to live with great intention.
Well, Rick, the definition for the word intention means a determination to act in a certain way, a resolve.
And that was, for this past week, that was the word that we kept coming back to, was the idea of living with great intention. And basically... And my microphone doesn't want to stay. Okay, there we go. Being determined to act a certain way. And there's a lot of thought that has to go into that. It's not just a feeling. It is a process. And we learned that as we went through the week. Now, this word intention, we didn't get from the scriptures. This is a word that we use to describe some of the things happening from a scriptural standpoint. So this the definition that we got was from Merriam-Webster's dictionary. And again, the first definition, a determination to act in a certain way, a resolve. And let's look at the context of the scripture you used as the theme text.
Okay, so let's turn our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Yea, and for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence, in your faith supply virtue, and in your virtue, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, patience, and in your patience, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love.
Now, Jonathan, this is the American Standard Version that you just read, and that reads a little differently than a lot of the other versions. And it's an interesting thought that this brings. In the other versions, it says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and add to virtue knowledge, and so forth and so on. Here it's saying that you give all diligence, in your faith, supply virtue, and in your virtue, knowledge. So in other words, supply knowledge in your virtue, and in your knowledge, self-control. And it's kind of an interesting thought. We're not going to spend a lot of time on that, but this translation had never occurred to me before. I don't know why I use the American Standard Version a lot, but hey, you know, I just overlooked that one. But it's interesting. The point is that in the scripture it says, adding on your part all diligence to do these things. And the word diligence means speed or eagerness or earnestness. And I think the point is that you can't do something with true diligence unless you have great intention. So that's where we want to sort of kick off our thinking this morning. We're not going to get into a deep philosophical study, so to speak, where hopefully, as these kids do arrive, we're going to have the ability to just talk about Peter's life and how his great intentions needed to be molded through a lot of other things. Joy, any thoughts at this point on the intention or using diligence to get your intention on the right track?
It just occurs to me from this verse that it's showing one of the principles about intention, and that is that you can't be intentional without a plan. And here these verses are pointing out kind of a step-by-step plan, so it just fits in with that.
So, and that's an important facet, and we'll hopefully develop that thought as we go through this program. To be intentional in life, you have to have a plan. You know, whenever I hear this word, one of the things I think of, because I have two daughters, is the conversation
that
you have with a young man. Young man, what are your intentions? And, of course, that seems like it comes from a different generation, sadly. And really, it shouldn't. You know, that should be something that people are faced with, you know, in those areas of life. You know, what are your intentions? You know, what is your determination in what way you're going to act? Tell me about it. And that's an important part of this whole thing.
So I remember that conversation.
Oh, you so you were on the receiving end of that conversation.
Oh, I was, yes.
And what were your intentions?
Marriage.
Pretty specific, huh?
Yeah.
And that was how many years ago?
Oh, 18.
So what it sounds like then is your intentions turned into a very well-designed plan of living.
That's right.
After 18 years, that's a good thing, because most marriages don't go that far. So that's a good illustration there. Let's look at the Apostle Peter's life, Jonathan. Let's just get started. And let's look at the Apostle Peter in regards to shepherding. You know, what we're going to do throughout this program is going to look at things that happened to him earlier in his life and then things that he learned to teach later in his life. Because a lot of what happened earlier, he had to develop into later on. And, oh, we have some arrivals.
We have some guests.
Here they come, marching in.
Come on in, guys.
Let's go through this scripture. Actually, Joy, why don't you read the scripture? And Jonathan will get everybody sort of set up here. The John?
John 21, 15, and 17. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my lambs. A second time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything, and you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep.
And that's an interesting scripture because now this takes place after Jesus has died and after he's resurrected, and this is after Simon Peter denied Jesus. And so Jesus is setting the record straight, and he's giving Simon Peter great responsibility here as he's asking a very, very pointed question. He's asking him, Do you love me? And Simon's answer is, Well, Lord, of course, you know that I love you. Now, it's interesting that Vicky's here. It's interesting that when Jesus asks Simon, Do you love me? It's one Greek word, and that word is much more of a selfless love. And Simon's answer is, Lord, yes, you know that I love you. That's a different Greek word. It's more of a
Philadelphia, a brotherly love.
Brotherly love. Simon Peter realized that he had not attained unto that selfless kind of love that would be willing to give his life, because obviously he didn't. When it came down to being counted, he ran away. He denied him.
Now, the three times that he was asked this, did he change his word in the end, or did he stay Philadelphia?
He stayed.
Okay.
Because he realized he wasn't there yet. But each time Jesus asked him, he gave him a responsibility to feed my lambs, to feed my sheep, and to tend the flock. So he's...
WXLM.
Well, how about that? Just wanted to remind you what station we're on. That's what it was. Ooh, that got me going. but the point is, Peter was being given responsibility that he was not yet ready to take on, but Jesus was telling him, this is where you have to go with your life. And go ahead, Joy.
And the fact that Jesus said, feed my sheep, was Jesus' way of helping him have an intentional life, because he was giving him, like you said, a responsibility and a focus.
And also a neat thing. You know, he said, feed my lambs at first, and those are young babies
right.
in Christ, those at the beginning stage. And I believe this is like a progression of then feed the lambs that have been here a while, that have the truth and are solid in it, and then feed those, I think, on the later end of their Christian walk that still need encouragement and help and direction. So I think in Jesus' words, he's covering the full scope of the body of Christ.
And see, what he's doing is he's giving Simon Peter great intention. He's saying, here is what I want you to focus your life on, to feed my lambs, to tend my sheep, and then to feed my sheep. Like you're saying, there's a progression. It's taking care of the entire body of Christ, if you will. And very, very interesting. It's intention, though. Jesus had great intention for Peter's life, and we're going to see how Peter learned to take that intention and apply it to his life. Folks, we're talking about the life of Simon Peter in the context of a very simple question, and that is, what is your intention?
This is Jonathan and Rick with Christian Questions on 102.3 FM WXLM. Grab your Bibles. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Christian Questions on News Talk 102.3 FM, WXLM. Our subject this morning is, what is your intention? To be a part of our program, call 860-442-6102. That's 442-6102.
And Jonathan, before we continue with our discussion, we need to get some introductions taken care of here, because we've got a bunch of folks that just came in that were with us at the Bible camp we were at, and we were discussing the life of the Apostle Peter. And so let's get started. Who wants to be brave and march up to that microphone first and tell us your name and tell us where you're from? Come on now. Somebody's got to march. Come on, come on, come on. Let's go. Somebody.
All right, here we go.
Hi, I'm Ian Armstrong, and I'm from now from Illinois, and I'm so glad to be here. And he said that he wanted us to be brave at the testimony meeting, too.
Okay, that's right. All right, next. Come along.
I'm Odalia from Michigan.
Okay, get real close to the mic when you say that.
I'm Odalia from Michigan.
Hello, good
Welcome.
Morning.
Who's next?
Hi, I'm Lisette. I'm from Michigan.
Okay, who's next?
I'm Levi Duhaim from Lebanon, Connecticut.
Good morning, Levi. Who's next?
I'm Gabriella from Detroit.
Good morning, Gabriella. We've got quite a well-rounded crew from all areas here. Keep coming, keep coming.
Closer. He can't because his chair.
My name is Caleb Armstrong from Illinois.
Good morning, Caleb. Next.
I'm Estelle from Michigan.
Okay. We got some of the adults in the back there, too. That's not for, and there's Isaac. Hello, Isaac. I see him running around back there. Who else? Let's go. Come on now.
Here we go.
I'm Giselle from Michigan.
Oh, Giselle, say a few more words. I love your accent.
Oh, bonjour tout le monde.
Thank you.
That was French.
It's all Greek to me, but it sounded like French.
I'm David, also from Michigan.
We got quite a contingent here from Michigan.
Good morning. I'm Lori from Lebanon, Connecticut.
Lori from Lebanon. And is that pretty much everybody?
Oh, no, not quite. Yeah. Get in here anyway. Let's go.
Good morning. This is Vicky.
Vicky's back. And Isaac, hello. He just gave me the little nod. All right, so Jonathan, that's our crew here. And folks, here are the ground rules. We'd love to hear from you. We're talking about the Apostle Peter. This is a guy you guys know something about. So we're going to do some talking about living with great intention to get started. And we're going to go through some scriptures. We'd like to have some of you step up and read some of the scriptures for us as we go through this. And we will do a little singing of some songs later on after everybody gets used to being here. We plan on having a good time. Be enthusiastic, guys, all right? Let's be intentional. How's that? We were talking about the Simon Peter and shepherding and what he was given to do from Jesus. Now let's take a look at what he wrote in 1 Peter and how he responded to that many, many, many years later.
And this is found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 25. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted him to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls.
So the apostle now, and again, 1 Peter was probably written 27, 28 years after that conversation with Jesus. And here he's talking about the fact that you have all gone astray, but now you've returned. And he would know about going astray.
Yes, he would.
And it's interesting that he writes about things that obviously he not only knows about, but things that he has experienced. And what you can see in that is you can see the intention of his life being very, very focused, because he learned things through the experiences of life. And he actually, here's a novel thing. He had experiences and he, dun, 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 learned from them.
Yes. And from those lessons that he learned, he taught others from his mistakes.
And see, that's a real novel thing. Not only do you learn, but then you pass it on to another generation, if you will. And that's what Peter became known for later on. You know, when we think of Peter, oftentimes think of the mistakes, but those were a catapult, if you will, to send him off into a life of a very, very productive work for Jesus. So in terms of shepherding, we can see how he is understanding what it means to go astray because he had been there before. And folks, if you have a thought on being intentional or the life of the Apostle Peter, give us a call at 860-442-6102. That's 442-6102. Jonathan, we got to talk about faith.
All right. Let's read Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41.
And as you read this, we're going to read some other scriptures. We're going to be talking about the walking on water incident, and maybe we can get a volunteer to step up and read that for us.
Sounds good.
So just preparing them.
All right, Mark chapter 4, 35 through 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?"
And Jonathan, that must have been a dramatic thing to be involved in. And Simon Peter was there, and they're in this great storm, and Jesus is asleep on the boat. And Jesus, by his word, calms the sea. And you read from the New Revised Standard Version, and it talks about, he's saying to, you know, he says, "Peace, be still." And everything, it stops. And it's like, what are you worried about? I'm here. And see, he was teaching them to have complete and utter trust in his presence with them. And it was a great lesson. Now, I would imagine if you were on that boat, worried about it because the boat's being swamped, it's starting to sink, and Jesus essentially swoops in and saves the day, that would be something you'd probably remember for a long time.
Would never forget it.
Because it's so dramatic.
It is.
Well, not too much later on in Simon Peter's life, he had another experience on a stormy sea. And let's read from Matthew 14, 24 through 33. And Gabriella is going to read that for us.
"But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, 'Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid.' Peter answered them, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' He said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, 'You of little faith, why did you doubt?' When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'"
And, Jonathan, what a great text that is, because as dramatic as the first one was, thank you, Gabriella, as dramatic as the first one was, this was even more dramatic.
It was.
Because, first of all, Jesus is not in the boat with them. He's out there walking on water.
Which is impossible.
You are absolutely right. It is. It is not a physical possibility. However, in the spiritual realm, when you have the power of God's influence working within you as Jesus did, it is possible, obviously, because he did it.
That's right.
So it's not a physically possible thing. So Peter, in his faith, says, "Okay, Lord, if that's really you, bid me to come out and walk towards you on the water." Now, don't try this at home, okay? This is not one of those things that's just going to happen on an everyday basis. And so Peter gets out there. So he's exhibiting great faith.
He is, more than anybody else in the boat.
Absolutely. Sorry, I used your word. But the key thing here is in this exhibition of his faith, it says, when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." So was interesting. What this is saying, the text is saying, is that he didn't notice all of that stuff because he was only looking at one thing.
Jesus.
As long as his mind was set on Jesus, the power was given him to do something that was not physically possible. The moment he began to look around him and notice other things, everything changed. So it's a very, very interesting lesson in faith. And Jesus says to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Joy.
Yeah, it seems like the moment he lost his intention and his focus on Jesus, he wavered. So again, you can see the role of intention.
And isn't that the subject for this morning, is being intentional? So there's a great life lesson in this one experience in the life of the Apostle Peter. And the interesting thing, Jonathan, is he would have had in his mind the previous experience of being in the boat when Jesus calmed the sea. So he would have known that Jesus could, if he wanted to, have calmed the sea in that particular circumstance. But he began to get consumed by the context, by the environment that he was in, rather than focus on where he was going. A great lesson in faith that needed to be developed even further. Okay, let's go on to the next scripture. Now, here's somebody who didn't say hello before. Is that right? Did you say hello, John?
I guess not.
And John, what's your name?
John. And where are you from, John?
Chicago, Illinois.
All right. And why don't you read for us, John, the next scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9.
"In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls."
All right, so here the Apostle Peter is writing many years later on faith, and he's talking about having suffered through trials, but that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that is perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory. So he's saying the experiences you go through are to develop your faith. And he's complimenting those he's writing to, he's saying you haven't seen Jesus, but you have this great faith in him. And this is something that needs to grow and needs to be developed and it needs to continue on. So an interesting perspective on the other side, having gone through the development process of faith. Why don't we read through the next scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 21.
"Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Instead, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. For it's written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited by your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are set on God."
Thank you, Lori.
What a great scripture. And that gives you the intention right at the end. It talks about through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. You see, if you're going to live a life with intention, it has to have an end result in mind. It has to have something in the future in mind. It has to have something that you're moving forward towards in mind. You know, just like you said, you had that conversation with your, at that point, your
father-in-law.
Future father-in-law.
That's right.
What are your intentions, young man? What is the future that you see for your life and for the life of my daughter? And And what it says is, I'm looking forward, and here the Apostle Peter is unequivocally telling them, your faith and your hope are set on God. There is something very specific that you're moving towards. That's what living intentionally is. Fred, let's go into a break at this point. Folks, we're talking about the idea of intention and how it should dramatically affect and change our lives.
This is Jonathan and Rick with Christian Questions on News Talk 102.3 FM, WXLM. Stay with us. Welcome back to Christian Questions on News Talk 102.3 FM, WXLM. Our subject this morning is, what is your intention? To be a part of our program, call 860-442-6102. That's 442-6102.
And Jonathan, as we continue this discussion, we have one of our campers here who wants to give us a little bit of a lesson that they learned from the life of the Apostle Peter. And this is Levi.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
I learned that Peter was called three times before he actually started to follow Jesus in his walk.
Okay, so he was drawn to Jesus three different times, and he would sort of follow him a little bit the first two times, but in the third one, remember, like you said, he actually made that final decision and didn't go back on it.
Yeah, but the first time that he followed Jesus, he actually went home when it got late.
Yeah, okay, and so it was a process.
Yeah.
And he had to learn to be intentional in his desire to follow Jesus, didn't he? All right, there you have it. You heard it from Levi. So if anybody else here would like to contribute that, I know we've got a call on the line. Just hang on. We've got a bunch of kids here, so a caller, just hang on for another minute.
All right, and this is Caleb, and he's going to stretch as far as he can to get to that mic. Go ahead, Caleb. What did you learn?
I learned Peter's name was really Simon.
That's right.
That's right.
And
who changed his name?
Jesus.
Right.
All right, so he started out as Simon, and he said to him, as a matter of fact, the first time he met him, he said, you will be called Peter, or Cephas. And so it was a very interesting interchange there, but you're right about that, Caleb. Very good. Jonathan, we've got a call. Let's take that call right now.
Okay, welcome to Christian Questions. This is Jonathan and Rick and company. Who are we speaking with?
Good morning. This is Julius.
Good morning, Julius.
I want to extend my best wishes. Welcome. I'm delighted to meet by telephone Jonathan, Rick, Fred, and company.
That's right.
You have from all over, quite a variety of folks there.
Yeah, there's so many they can't all fit here in the studio.
And I've learned from Levi, I didn't know that about Peter, that he was called
three times. That's
yeah.
Right.
So my intentions, incidentally, you know, you threw me a curve, because one of the few times that I anticipated what you were going to talk about, you switched on me.
We did.
But your intentions were good.
That's right.
Yeah, good to hear all of you. Oh, golly. You know, as I was looking at the subject of love, charity last night, all of these thoughts, you know, the Word of God, it's so harmonious. It relates one point to another. Faith, love, hope, intentions, they're all related. Good intentions, they've gotten me in trouble.
Okay.
And you know what that reminds me of? Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. You quote that every Sunday morning before that, or like a verse or two before that. And this says, abstain from all form of evil.
Uh-huh.
So at times, we can have good intentions, but if they're going to give a wrong impression, lead us to, you know, something wrong, then we should abstain. We should be careful.
Right.
That's what I mean. I've gotten into trouble with good intentions. A couple of other scriptures that come to mind. I gleaned this from one of the scriptures I looked up last night about love, and that is 1 Timothy 4:12, where Timothy is instructed by the Apostle Paul to be an example and he tells me in conversation, in charity, and he says, and lastly, purity. The purity is the key, because we violate purity if someone is harmed or misled by our good intentions. So purity, motive is the key in all of this. A couple of scriptures, and I leave you. Proverbs 23:7.
Okay.
As a person thinketh in his heart, so he is he.
That's a good one.
The thought, you know, the motive. And lastly, what's the other one I have? Well, one of my favorites, and that is Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof lead to death.
Mm-hmm.
You see, what will they lead to? And what is the motive? Thanks for sharing. God bless you all.
Thank you, Julius. We appreciate your input.
Okay, bye-bye.
Have a good day.
And as usual, Julius brings a lot of scriptural support to the discussion. And those were good scriptures at the end there. You know, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It really tells you what your intentions are. And you know, folks, the point of this, we're looking at the Apostle Peter's life. But understand that most of us, I would venture to say, do not live with great intention. We sort of go with the flow. If you live intentionally, going with the flow doesn't necessarily fit in most of the time. And that is something that is an important process to develop through. So, folks, if you have a thought on the Apostle Peter's life and living with great intention, the number is 860-442-6102. That's 442-6102. Okay, we have another lesson from the life of Peter.
I learned that Peter got really, really, really upset when he denied Jesus.
He did, and that was Ian speaking. Thank you, Ian. And that was a dramatic changing point in Simon Peter's life.
It could have been the end of his faith.
And, you know, and if he didn't have the intention in his heart to be a true follower of Jesus. See, now his intentions and his actions didn't match.
Exactly.
He wanted to be one to stand up for Jesus and follow after him no matter what. But when it came down to the pressure of the moment, he buckled. And not only did he buckle once or twice, three times. And, you know, the third time, and we'll probably get into this later on, but the third time, I mean, he denies Jesus with cursing. I mean, he's angry, and he regretted that. And his intention for his life did truly come through, but it had to grow. And again, you have to have a plan. Gabriella, it looks like you have something to say.
I was just going to say that I learned that, you know, like when the apostles were called to be apostles, it was like a multitude, and Jesus went out and prayed, and then he came back and picked them all at once. Like, you know, I always figured that it was, you know, he was walking along and he picked one here and one there, but it was all like at once.
Okay, so he was drawing them individually, and then you had this whole group, and then he does the final appointing, if you will. But he's drawing people to be disciples. And then you have these apostles that were drawn from the disciples. And it was a prayerful decision. And again, and that's a good point, because what it shows, Jonathan, is that Jesus' intention was to do it God's way. It's not like, okay, you know, I feel this guy's like, this is a cool guy. I think I'll have him be one of my apostles. He was intending on, and that's why it says that he prayed and then sort of gave that announcement. If we live with great intention, life will be different.
Hey, John, you have something?
Real close to the mic.
Just one thing, just one little thing that I learned is that I always used to think that, like, when Jesus called the apostles, it was like a really quick thing. But actually, it was over the course of about a year that he actually preached to them and kind of called them. And yeah,
I agree. Before this study, I thought the same way, and then after getting into the study, realized it like 6 months to a year before he appointed the apostles.
So, and that's interesting, because we always think about Jesus with the 12 apostles,
exactly.
Just with them. So you
exactly.
Think that, you know, he comes down from the mount where he's tempted, you know, remember the 40 days of fasting? Mm-hmm. He comes and he points out his apostles, and on they go.
It didn't work that way.
It couldn't be further from the way it really happened. It was a long process, and I think that process involved finding what their true intentions were. Because, you know, he would see if they would continue to follow him when he would draw them. And it was out of that that their true characters arose, and then he was able to focus on moving forward from there. So Jesus didn't have the 12 with him for 3.5 years of his ministry, but more like 2.5 years. But they were with him as followers through much of that first year, on and off, so to speak. So very, very interesting lessons coming out. And yes, we have another one. Odalia.
Right, okay. Well, I learned that in order to live intentionally, you need a plan.
You need a plan.
That's right.
So do you have a plan?
Well, it's in process. It's being, you know. You know, you start with little things, I guess.
All right, good. So you need a plan to live intentionally. Why?
Because otherwise, it's harder.
There you go.
Yeah, nothing will get done if you don't have a plan.
Because life gets in the way. It always does. No matter who we are, no matter what we feel that we ought to do. See, there's a difference, Jonathan, between what you feel and what you know. And that's one of the big lessons we had during this week. And what we feel is generally the area that we make our decisions based on.
You're right.
You know, you come down to it and you get home after a long day and you feel like resting. And you feel like becoming, and I'm looking at you, but I'm not looking at you, okay? I'm not implying this, but.
Right.
Yeah. And you feel like becoming a couch potato, you know, and just sitting back. It's been a long day. Whereas your life may say, my intention is to do more with my life than just work, eat, and sleep, and get up the next day and work, and eat, and sleep, and work, and eat, and sleep. You know, there's other things to life. And if you're going to be intentional, you have to have a plan, because otherwise you don't feel like it. And there's such power in that. So our decision making could be based on what we feel or what we know. And one of the things we said is you feel what you feel. And you really know what you know. And if we would look at what we know as our basis for our decision making, life would be better.
Isn't that how Peter developed with his faith?
I think somebody's knocking at the back door. Yes, it is. Peter, Simon Peter, you know, at the beginning of the week of discussing this with all the kids, we talked about Simon. We didn't allow anybody to use the name Peter.
That's right.
Because he had to learn to become Peter starting out as Simon. And you're right, he learned how to go from what he felt to what he knew in terms of his decision-making process.
We have some more visitors.
Well, let's hear from them. Who are they?
I'm Renee. From Groton.
Renee from Groton. All right. Welcome.
Very good. Who else?
Hey,
come on in.
You. Get over here. No waving. They can't hear you.
I'm Lorene from Groton, Connecticut.
And
welcome. Right. Good morning.
Wait. Lorene, don't go away. Don't go away. Get over here. See, because, folks, you have to realize this is the Lorene.
That's right.
Lorene, one of your claims to fame in life is you sing our theme song for us.
That's what you say.
Well, you do it every morning, every Sunday morning, so we're glad to have you here visiting the studio with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
All right, we have another comment. Come on up. What did you learn from at camp?
God has a plan, so he must be intentional.
Oh.
I hope you heard that, folks. She said, God has a plan, so he must be intentional. That
out of the mouth of Dave
is, and that was Lizette. That is one of the most profound, simple statements that I think we will make all morning, because God does have a magnificent plan. There is intention behind the permission of evil. There is intention behind sending Jesus and allowing Jesus to die and be raised. There is intention behind all of these things for the greater good of mankind.
The good news.
The good news
the
of the gospel. Like last week, we were talking about hope and how important hope is. All right, go ahead.
So imagine the power when God works his intentions to be ours.
You see the importance of intention. If we can focus our intentions, and here's another important thought that we talked about during the week, is having your intentions be towards something that's so much bigger than you are, that was so much stronger, that has so much more to it, and being dedicated to that. That's what the Apostle Peter learned. He had great intention at the beginning of his life. He was a man seeking after God even before Jesus called him. He was looking for holiness. He was looking to live upright. He was looking to try and fulfill the law. He was doing all of those things as best as he knew how in his certain circumstance, but he just didn't know how to go to the next step. And he meets Jesus, and right away he expresses his intentions. And how many times did the reality cut him down to size?
That's right, because he thought with his feelings often.
Right. And he needed to learn to overcome and deal with that. So, folks, again, if you have a thought, give us a call at 860-442-6102. That's 442-6102. We're getting near the end of the first hour, Jonathan. In the second hour, we're going to hear from these guys by way of song. We're going to have them sing at the beginning of the second hour. What is it called, the Pebble song?
Pebble Blues.
Oh, the Pebble Blues. I got the Pebble Blues. Well, I'm not going to sing it. They're going to sing it.
Thank you.
So I want these guys to get prepared for that. But as we wrap up this first hour, Jonathan, let's just take a look at, we're on the bottom of three there, some scriptures that are written in 1st and 2nd Peter about the value of spirituality. And again, here, this is from a man who was a fisherman who honored God but learned to live for God through Jesus. And all of these scriptures have one word in common, and that's the word precious. And it just gives you a sense of the incredible value here. And we only have a minute, so we'll just hit a few of them. Go ahead.
Okay, 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Okay, so the trial of your faith being more precious than the trial of gold, if you will, the trial of gold going through fire. And he's saying your faith has to go through fire. The Apostle Peter knew that because his faith went through fire, so he could tell them unequivocally, this is a valuable experience for you to go through. Go ahead.
1 Peter 1:19.
But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot.
So you've got the precious blood of Christ, okay? The value is something much higher. Next scripture.
To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious.
So that's talking about the life of Jesus. And folks, as we wrap up this first hour, we're talking about living with great intention. Not just a little bit of intention, not with a thought of intention, but living with great intention. Now we can draw incredible lessons from the life of the Apostle Peter through the mouths of many children. In the second hour, we're going to do some singing for you, and get back to the life of Peter, and look at intentional living and how important it is, especially in a world like we live in. For Jonathan and Rick and company, this is Christian Questions. We will be back after the news and all of that. But until then, what is your intention? Think about it. Here's a quote for you that's not intentional. David Frost said, he turned his life around. He used to be depressed and miserable. Now he's miserable and depressed. Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Christian Questions. Talk radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. The objective of our program is to discuss with you, our listeners, thought-provoking and meaningful topics based on the Bible. This is a call-in format. We are caller-friendly, and we certainly look forward to hearing your point of view. Jonathan, what are we talking about?
Well, Rick, our question for this morning is, what is your intention? And our theme text is found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge.
Are you sure that's what we're talking about?
Well,
I'm just testing, see what your intention is.
How about Peter?
We're talking about the Apostle Peter and his life of learning to live with great intention for God. He had great intention, but it needed to grow up, it needed to mature, it needed to become focused and healthy, and we're going to get more into that as this program goes on. And Jonathan, right now, let's take a minute. We've got a studio full of folks here, kids from the camp we were at this week. Let's handle some of the housekeeping items that we have.
There you go. Well, every Thursday evening from 7 to 8, we have a local Bible study for any that's interested. It's located at Eastern Point Beach at the Zaberski House at the corner of Beach Pond Road and Shore Avenue. And all are welcome. So please join us Thursday evenings in the city of Groton at the Zaberski House.
All right. And there's one email, Jonathan, I wanted to just give a very brief response to. It came in and it said, I was listening to the program on 8-6, which is our last program that we did on Hope. And two or three times you refer to a scripture that we kept misquoting. He kept saying that Jesus died as a ransom for all. I believe the scripture actually says many. I am not trying to be picky, but it goes to show how a cult will twist scripture to fit their own beliefs. Please go back and listen to the tapes yourself. It was in the second hour, and we'll stop there. I wanted to comment on that, Jonathan, because, in fact, we did not misquote a scripture, and I wanted to sort of clear the air on that. The scripture that the writer of the email had in mind was Mark 10:43-45, and it talks about Jesus giving his life as a ransom for many. So he's correct about the word for many. If you listen to the program, we went on, we talked about that scripture, we defined ransom, and then we went on to 1 Timothy 2:5-6. Now listen carefully to this scripture. There's one God, one mediator between God and men, himself the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, the testimony born in its own times. I looked at about 10 translations of that verse, and all 10 said ransom for all. So there was no misquote of scripture. There's no twisting going on here. We were building on what Jesus said. We went on to a scripture that talked about Jesus being a ransom for all. And there are other scriptures that also support that. And if I can have my paper back, I just want to refer to them because it's important. Hebrews 2:9 says, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So I want to make it perfectly clear that there's no twisting going on here. There was no misquoting of a scripture. We're building one upon another. And if you're going to write things, you really check the text first. Okay? Check the text first because it's important. There's a scripture in Romans 5:12-19 that talks about a ransom for many and all in the same context. We won't read it now, but if you read it, you can understand by Romans 5:12-19, many in places in scripture does in fact emphatically mean all. So I wanted to set that straight because it was a misunderstood interpretation there, and I want to make sure that's clear. That being said, we are talking about living with great intention. So let's get back to that. Let's get back to the Apostle Peter. During this week, Jonathan, we had lots of studies and songs and things going on, and we do a lot of singing at these camps. And actually, Joy, who actually, it's interesting because we have Loreen here who sings our theme song. Joy, my sister, actually wrote the theme song. Joy loves to write music. Isn't that right, Joy?
Absolutely.
Hey, that's my word.
That's become one of our favorite phrases, yes. And so she wrote a song about the Apostle Peter called the Pebble Blues. So we want to sing this for you all. This is the Pebble Blues written by Joy, sung to you by kids from our youth camp that we just experienced this past week. Listen, I think you're going to enjoy this. All right, Joy, take it away.
Loved to fish, he loved to swim, he loved his fish and family. Kind of burly, full of laughter, kind of gentle, kind of tough. Always talking without thinking, was a diamond in the rough. Jesus preached and he was teaching, and he looked him in the eyes. And he prophesied that Simon would become so strong and wise. Simon was a bit unstable, like a pebble, it is true. And the devil used the pebble to insert his diamond shoe. I got them pebble blues.
Oh, yeah.
And I got something, something, something. I got something to lose. I can feel them sores and bruises from my head to my shoes. I got them pebble devil trembling blues. the pebble to distract the prophecy. Simon minimized the vision Jesus had for him to deem. Simon's foot got kind of sore, and rumor has it it turned blue. And the pebble made it hard to walk the way he wanted to. Well, this Simon's name was Simon, was a diamond so rough. But Jesus knew just how to help him, and his patient love was tough. Jesus led by his example, and he washed their dusty feet. When the Spirit came on Peter, Pebble fell onto the street. He beat them Pebble Blues.
That's right.
Cause he got something, something, something. He got something to choose. And he let Jesus have the pebble. Jesus healed the bruise. He beat them Pebble Devil Trembling Blues. Is there something in your life that makes you trip so you fall? Like a pebble in your sandal, Jesus knows about it all. Don't let Satan use the pebble to distract the prophecy of the person Jesus has in mind for all that you can be. Take off your shoe, take off your sandal, shake that pebble out of there. Sense his firm and stable strength, replace the tendency to fear. Let the Spirit work upon you, follow him in your walk. Let his patient love remove the pebble. You can be a rock. I beat them Pebble Blues.
That's right.
Cause I got something, something, something. I got something to choose. And I let Jesus have the pebble, and he healed the bruise. I beat them Pebble Devil Trembling Blues. I beat them Pebble Devil Trembling Blues.
How about that? That's the Pebble Blues, a song about the life of Simon Peter and how he grew to get that pebble out of his shoe because he was becoming the rock that Jesus said he would be. What a great lesson that is, and that's a lesson of living intentionally.
It sure is.
You know, we can sort of live by accident or live intentionally, and most of us probably spend our lives living by accident. In other words, you just sort of let life happen to you, and whatever goes, whatever comes, it goes. Living intentionally is an entirely different way to look at things. So, folks, if you have a thought on living intentionally or on the life of Simon Peter, it's 860-442-6102. That's 442-6102, And for the kids in the studio here, if you have more lessons from the life of Simon Peter you'd love to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. So, Jonathan, let's move forward and let's look at the Apostle Peter and on hope. Now, we talked about hope last week, but let's look at some of the things that Peter experienced in his life to see hope and then things that he experienced in his teaching about hope. Let's start with John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Real close, Renee.
Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also.
So, thank you, Renee.
You're welcome.
These are the words of Jesus looking at the focus of moving forward in life, the focus of what's to come. He's giving them great hope before he's about to be crucified and go through this night of trial, and they're going to be scattered. He knows all of this, but he gives them great hope as a result to get them buoyed up for this. Next scripture is Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11.
While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven."
Thank you, Lizette. That was beautiful. And there's another scripture that shows great hope to come, because this is when Jesus was raised to heaven, and how this was the beginning of a whole new era in Christianity, because now Jesus was in heaven, a spiritual being, and they were left here on earth and had to work with that hope that was given to them. So let's see what the Apostle Peter writes about that hope in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 5.
In
Blessed be the God, Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living with hope for resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and he inherits the imperishable, underfilled, the unfaded, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith, our
salvation
ready to be relieved in last time.
Okay, so this faith for our salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. The Apostle Peter is saying, look, this is what you've been given. Now you need to learn to live through it. And see, Jonathan, remember last week when we talked about hope? Hope is not something. Remember we had stories, you know, the stories that Rush Shalhoub told?
Mm-hmm.
And the touching hope that each of those stories showed us that when someone set their mind to something, hope could grow.
That's right.
And the Apostle Peter learned to do that. Now, early in his life, he didn't necessarily do that very well.
No.
Because he was struggling through life, trying to get over himself.
That's right.
Because he kept getting in his own way. He had a great intention to live a life for God, but he kept getting in his own way and allowing his decision-making to be made based on what he felt rather than what he knew. And it just took time for him to learn. So if it takes time for Peter, as an adult, to learn to live intentionally, certainly it's going to take us time to do the same.
This is Jonathan and Rick with Christian Questions on News Talk 102.3 FM, WXLM. Grab your Bibles. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Christian Questions on 102.3 FM, WXLM. Our subject this morning, what is your intention? And that's with Peter. To be a part of our program, call 860-442-6102. That's 442-6102.
And Jonathan, as we develop this conversation on intention, really, you know, we're talking about the life of the Apostle Peter, but we really are, folks, we're talking to you. We're talking about your intention for your life on a daily basis. How do you intend to live? And if you have an intention, but the actuality is different, why? Chances are that the reason the two are different is because you don't have a plan, and we are reacting based on what we feel rather than what we know. Jonathan, let's go through some experiences of the Apostle Peter had relating to being able to stand firm. And, you know, it's great to have an intention, but you have to do something about it. And standing firm is one of those things that's required in order to live with great intention.
Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered,
where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward.
Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now?
Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers.
Peter said to him, I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus said to them,
you will all become deserters, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee.
Peter said to him, even though all become deserters, I will not. Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus said,
I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied three times that you know me.
Peter saith unto him, even if I must die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples.
And Jonathan, excuse me, that conversation was a combination of the Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 22, and John 13 accounts of the conversation between Jesus and Peter relating to his denial. And Jesus told him. He told him up front, this is what's going to happen. And Simon Peter argued with him.
His self. He got in his own way, didn't he?
But you see, he was arguing, but he was showing what his intention was.
That's true. That's true.
But he wasn't able to live his intention. He just wasn't strong enough at that point in his life. And he had needed to learn that strength by the grace of God, through the Spirit of God, and through experience. So let's look at what Simon Peter wrote on intention in 1 Peter, or in relation to standing firm, rather, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 to 17.
Now, who will arm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated. But in your heart sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it's better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil.
And what a great scripture that is, because it puts things in perspective, what Peter had learned about being intentional. He's saying, don't fear what they fear. Don't be intimidated. He knew how to be intimidated. He's been there, done that. I'm not doing that anymore. He says, keep your conscience clear so that when you are maligned, it is for doing good, not for doing evil, because that is something that is worthy. Very, very different approach than he had earlier, arguing with Jesus.
That's right. Maturity shows.
It does. Great intention shows.
Well, Rick, we do have a call. Welcome to Christian Questions. This is Jonathan and Rick. Who are we speaking with?
I'm double dipping. This is Julius.
Okay,
welcome
Julius.
Welcome back, Julius.
No, I think it's so important to reflect a little more on your earlier discussion on the Lord Jesus choosing the apostles.
Uh-huh.
And a thought that is very meaningful to me is John 17:6. The Lord Jesus, in his prayer to the Father, he refers to those whom thou hast given me. So here is my conclusion. I think, pretty sure he's referring to the apostles in particular, disciples, also, that they were chosen by both the Lord God and the Lord Jesus. A team effort, which is proper, well known that the Father and the Son work as a team. So I think they both talked over the qualifications for the apostles, and that they both chose them on the basis of John 17:6, and also the other one where it's specific that the Lord Jesus chose them is John 15:16, I think it is. God bless. Thank you.
Thank you, Julius. We appreciate your input.
Okay, bye-bye.
And again, Jonathan, one of the important points on that particular event, on the choosing of the apostles, as well as many other things in Jesus' life, when you look at the intention of Jesus' own life, he had one intention only. Just one, and that was to do the will of his Father.
Absolutely.
There you go. And, yes, you know, what is the French word for absolutely? Let's get Giselle over here.
Absolument.
Say it again.
Absolument.
Can you do that?
Absolument.
Très bien.
All right, so you're ready for French radio there, Jonathan. There you go. But, you know.
Oui, oui.
No, just you, okay? The thing about Jesus' life and his intention was to do the will of his Father. And he said that how many times throughout his life? When he's tempted by Satan, he goes back to doing the will of his Father. When he's dealing with the multitudes, he's speaking the words. He says, the words I speak don't come from me, they come from my Father. When he's in the Garden of Gethsemane at the end of his life, what does he say? Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done. He had such clear-cut intention, and the key is he had the actions to back up the intention.
Yes, he did.
The Apostle Peter, early on, sometimes did, and sometimes didn't. Sounds like us.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's too bad in a way, but that is the truth of the matter. So, folks, if you have a thought, give us a call at 442-6102. That's 860-442-6102. So standing firm is a very intentional thing to do. It needs to be done with great conviction and needs to be put into perspective of just understanding what's required. And there are consequences for standing firm. Whether they be positive or negative, we have to be willing to accept those consequences. Let's shift gears now and go a little further into the Apostle Peter's life, and let's see what he had to do about on suffering. So we're going to go to the middle of that page, Jonathan. Hey, it's David. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Rick.
How are you this morning?
I'm fine.
That's good. From Detroit, huh?
That's correct.
So you
Detroit
like
the, area.
Detroit area.
Yeah, we don't want to say, well, I'll leave it at that.
But he is a Tigers fan.
Yeah, and I like that tie you have on this morning, Rick.
Yeah, there's Tigers on the tie, but it wasn't about the Detroit Tigers. Let me clue you. But anyway, go ahead. 1 Peter 1, 6-9.
In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials. so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
It's interesting, and that's good. Any comments, Dave? No, he's good. Good, thank you very much. You know, when you look at that, it says you are receiving the outcome of your faith. Joy, you look like you were all over that one. What did you want to say? Lori, you know, anytime you want to jump in there, feel free.
Yeah, actually, your is not in the interlinear Greek. It's the salvation of souls. And this, to me, shows the why he had such intention to be able to suffer for Christ.
A little louder, Joy.
His intention to suffer for Christ wasn't just because of his own salvation. It was for the salvation of souls. And again, it's a cause much bigger than ourselves, and it includes every person ever born in Adam. That's when we suffer as Christians. We are working for this cause with Christ of bringing the truth to all people eventually in the kingdom of God.
All right. And you know, it's interesting. You're receiving the outcome of your faith, which is the salvation of souls, which is the saving of lives. That's the outcome of the faith of the true church, because that's what Jesus came and died for. And, you know, going back to those scriptures we mentioned at the top of the hour, Jesus died a ransom for all.
That's right.
To be testified in due time. When Jesus was born, what did the angel say? Behold, I bring you
good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.
So you have a recurring theme that encompasses everyone. And it's a very scriptural recurring theme that encompasses everyone. And it's a very intentional part. Lizette said earlier, probably the most profound thing of all, that God has a plan. Therefore, God is intentional. And when you understand that, when you see the intention, what we need to do is say, okay, if that's the case, then how do we frame all of the context of the events of the world into this plan? And amazingly, it works, and it works so well, and you're in the middle. And, you know, we've said this many times, and there are some who don't like this, but we'll say it again. You don't judge an artist by his unfinished work. The world in which we live is very much an unfinished work that will be a work of art to look back upon in the future for all mankind. And we can have great hope in that. A couple more scriptures on the Apostle Peter on suffering, because for a true Christian, suffering is part of life. You know, Christianity isn't all happiness and being able to jump up and down and praise the Lord. Christianity lived intentionally it has a price. Go ahead, Lorene.
1 Peter 2:19. For this is acceptable, if for a conscience towards God a man endureth grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if, when ye sin and are buffeted for it, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye shall take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that ye should follow in his steps.
So there's, thank you, Lorene, there's the Apostle Peter. You notice how fast they get away from the mic when they finish? That's pretty interesting. This is something that's so important, because it's acceptable if for conscience toward God a man endures grief, suffering wrongfully. You know, it's one thing to suffer for the things that you do wrong that, you know, you should
deserve.
Right. But he's saying that if you are a true Christian, you're going to be misunderstood. You're going to be put in a position where life is going to deal you a hand, if you will, that just doesn't work out that well. And you need to be able to suffer wrongfully, be misunderstood or accused wrongfully or whatever, and be able to stand up and say, this is part of what I bargained for. This is part of my intentional living. I need to accept this and be able to move forward. Next scripture. Go ahead, Lizette.
Since I know that my death will come soon, as needed, our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me, and I will make every effort so that I, after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things.
Now, that is a very important scripture. Thank you, Lisette, because that scripture, Jonathan, is talking about the Apostle Peter knows he's going to die soon. And he knows how he's going to die, because in the next scripture, well, actually, let's read that next one. Go ahead, Estelle.
Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wish. But when you grow old, you stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten the belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me."
And again, thank you, Estelle, for that. That's an important scripture, because this is later on in Peter's life, and he's learning things. And how many times did he say to Simon Peter, "Follow me"? I mean, think about that. You know, two of the three times that he drew him, he said to him, "Follow me." And here, again, he's telling him, "This is how you're going to die, but I want you to follow me anyway. I want you to follow me through the suffering and through the difficulty, because it is a worthwhile cause." And I think, Jonathan, really, when we talk about and we think about living with great intention, you can more easily live with great intention if that intention is toward a worthwhile cause.
That's right. Bigger than you.
And you know what? And that's such a big part of it. If it's bigger than you, then there's so much more to it. Joy, go ahead.
What a contrast to Simon Peter's earlier life when he denied Jesus three times. He was afraid of suffering. He was afraid of disapproval. And here in the book of Peter, he's talking about realizing, I am going to be crucified, but the most important thing is that I convey the truth to you, my brothers and sisters, and that you don't forget it. So it was a total change, and it was because Jesus built intention into his heart through these hard experiences, and he was not afraid of suffering anymore.
And that's interesting, because now think about the circumstance, and you know, the question is, would you have run and hid? Because here you have Jesus being put on trial through the night and all this stuff, and there's immense pressure going on. There's a lot of, and you know, one of the things we talked about during the week was peer pressure.
Oh, yes.
Well, there was a lot of peer pressure going on at that point, too. You know, peer pressure doesn't just apply to kids. It applies to adults as well. And there was a lot of that, and Simon Peter's sort of on the outside looking in, and you can see Jesus when he's about to deny him, and he's in this context. And everybody is looking at Jesus sort of like, oh, look, they got him. Oh, look, they got him. Oh, hey, I know you. You were with him. And you're surrounded by all these people, and he is being tried. And there's immense pressure. And he caved. He just gave in, because what he wanted in his heart wasn't strong enough to actually do. He wasn't fully committed to that higher cause. Live with great intention. And amazing things end up happening, because you can see how he developed the strength to not only be willing to die. And he said, look, I'm going to die soon. That's okay. I'm making sure that you can follow through on the things that I've been taught. Lori, looks like you're ready to say something. She's jumping out of her seat.
Yeah. Two things. One is that I think that Peter... There's two things that Peter didn't have when he denied Jesus that he had later on. One was the Holy Spirit to do the things that were in his heart that he just could not do, that amazing power that he was able to receive after Jesus died and sent the Holy Spirit. I think we know from what Peter said that he wanted to be able to die for Jesus, and obviously... that was in his heart to be able to do that, and he was unable to do that. I think in addition to the Holy Spirit, having the experience of having fallen and not having done what his heart wanted to do, that, you know, that's a process of learning from your mistakes. And when you see how weak you really are, it helps you to access that power that God makes available to you, because you realize, I cannot do what is deepest in my heart. It's impossible for me to do it, even though I thought I could. I wanted to so much. So I think Peter, having had the experience of doing the exact opposite of what he wanted to do, actually helped him later on to rest in Jesus, to be like that branch in the vine and see that he needed Christ in him to accomplish what he wanted most.
So it was a great learning experience because he fell down. And, you know, when you fall so terribly, you have two choices. One, you can cut and run. And the other is you can get up and fight. And he chose to get up and fight and learned to not rely on his own strength, as Lori was saying, but rely rather on the strength of God through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So there was a transition that happened, and he learned from his experience. And Jonathan, a good friend of ours who came to visit Camp Victor, he said something when in his short visit. He had said, and he's come and sat through programs with us here in the studio, but he said something about, you know, you've heard the phrase, and I'm probably not going to quote it exactly right. You've heard the phrase, experience is the best teacher. But he says, but I say it is a fool who will only learn by experience. Now think about that, because experience is a great teacher, and the Apostle Peter had the experience, and he learned by it. But we can say, well, you know, experience is the best teacher, therefore, maybe I should go out and do that. No, you have the experience of someone set before you who was practically destroyed by it and fought back. Why not learn through the observation of that experience so that you can move even further sooner? So experience is a great teacher, but it is a fool if you only learn by those who only learn by experience. Folks, we're talking about living with great intention and lessons found in the life of the Apostle Peter.
This is Jonathan and Rick with Christian Questions on News Talk 102.3 FM WXLM. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Christian Questions on News Talk 102.3 FM WXLM. Our subject this morning, what is your intention? To be a part of our program, call 860-442-6102. That's 442-6102.
And Jonathan, do you know what time it is?
What time is it, Rick?
I think it's time for another song.
That's right.
So this song is called In the Water But Not Wet. And this is a song, when you think about it, of living with great intention. Because if you're in the water but not wet, it's got to mean something is happening to protect you. Well, let's listen to what this song speaks of and how it shows us how to live with great intention. Here we go.
As long as water's in the ocean, ocean's in the sea, and I am in my boat, and the ocean's far from me, don't mind if I can sail the waves, though I sail against the tide. 'Cause I'd hate to tread the waters far as oceans wide. Well, if you hear the songs of the ocean, stars getting rough, to keep my boat afloating, gotta hang on pretty tough. Sometimes the waves come crashing over, boat is tossed by gale. Gotta take my little bucket, and with all my might I bail. As long as water's in the ocean, ocean's in the sea, and I am in my boat, and the ocean's far from me, don't mind if I can sail the waves, so I sail against the tide. 'Cause I hate to tread the waters far as ocean's wide. Well, if you hear the song I'm singing, and you wonder why, well, I think that I should tell you that there's more than meets the eye. This song's about more than a boat, for this boat is my fate, and the one who's riding with me gave his life to keep me safe. As long as water's in the ocean, ocean's in the sea, and I am in my boat, and the ocean's far from me, don't mind if I can sail away, so I sail against the tide. 'Cause I hate to tread the waters far as ocean's wide. One time his boat was tossed by water. He said, peace be still. And all the waves had listened, calm by his will. And one time Peter walked to meet him, looked away, and then he wished he was in the boat because he'd have
I can sail the waves, though we sail against the tide. 'Cause he said that he'd go with me, and he said he'd be my guide.
Well, how about that? In the water, but not wet, a song of intentional living for each and every one of you to take with you as we begin the wrap-up process of this program. We've got about 10 minutes left or so. So, folks, if you do have a call... No, let's try that again.
Do you have a thought?
Right.
Give
Absolutely.
Us a call. At 860-442-6102. That's 442-6102.
We're talking about the life of Simon Peter and the things that were important in terms of living intentionally. Now, one of the things I want to ask all the kids here to think about is what are they going to take home with them from these lessons of Simon Peter? Jonathan, before, so you guys can start to think about that. We do have a call. Why don't we take that right now?
Welcome to Christian Questions. This is Jonathan and Rick. Who are we speaking with?
Well, this is Jonathan or Rick.
That's Peter.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, who are you?
Jonathan and Rick.
Oh, why, they named you twice.
Or something like that.
Yeah. You know, I was listening for a while, and it occurred to me that Peter had a lot of regret.
Yes.
And I think it was something that was unusual for people of that time. And Jesus introduced it to them. And our basic need for survival, I think the need to live, to not have your life taken from you, is very strong.
Mm-hmm.
And the faith that there was everlasting life beyond this life was a difficult hill to climb.
Sure.
So when it did come to that point of admitting that he was, he knew Jesus, he was with him, he that urge to live and survive and avoid anything that might be hazardous to his health was overwhelming for him because he still had that thing that I guess we got after Adam and Eve.
Yep.
And that probably is the hardest thing to overcome. And once you overcome that, I think you can really feel that you've accomplished something with faith.
I think you're right.
Hey, enjoy the show and your guests.
Well, thank you very much, Peter. We thank you for calling in and being a part of it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So, Jonathan, that's a good point. You know, he's saying that we're so programmed to hang on to what we have. When you're introduced to something so much larger, so much bigger than you, especially in the context of Simon Peter the fisherman, you know, being introduced to this idea of eternal life and following after Jesus and living a spiritual life and leaving the fishing business, I mean, that's all tough stuff. But see, we saw right from the start, Simon Peter's intention was always strong. It's just that he had to mature into it. And the great thing is that Jesus didn't say, oh, look at you. Look at what a mess you've made of it.
You're lost.
Right. He didn't say that. What he did say is he drew him towards him continually throughout his life. He continually encouraged him. You know, when Simon Peter was going to, and we read this before, when he was about to, getting ready to deny him, Jesus said, look, Simon, I've already prayed for you. So he's understood the weakness. And he was just teaching him to replace his own personal weakness with the strength of God. What an amazing example of something to be intentional about. I mean, what a great way to live. All right, do any of our folks here have anything they want to add in terms of things that you want to take with you from the lessons of living an intentional life by the experiences of Simon Peter? Anybody got something? Because we've got a few other scriptures we can go on to. Not yet. Okay, we're going to have to get at least somebody up here before this ends, and we've got just a few. Okay, here comes Lori.
I was just listening to your last comments, Rick, and I was thinking about how Peter and all the apostles were expecting the Messiah. All men were in expectation, the scriptures say, and it must have been just an amazing thing for Peter to be called by Jesus, to be a part of something so big, so much bigger than anything he really expected, to bless all the families of the earth. And what an amazing thing, opportunity we have as Christians to also be a part of something bigger than just being a good person or just being somebody important in the community. We have an amazing opportunity, as Peter had, to be a part of blessing all the families of the earth and doing something more amazing than anything that we've seen thus far, with all the goals that different people have, Greenpeace or feeding the homeless or whatever it is. It's just an amazing opportunity.
And see, and I'm glad you brought that up, because there are a lot of people that live very intentionally with goals like that. You know, whether it's to save the whales, to save the environment, to feed the homeless, to stamp out starvation, whatever it is, you cure disease, all of these things. These are valuable.
They're noble.
Right. Wonderful ways to live your life. What we're talking about here, though, is an environment of being a part of something so big that all of those things become a small part of that much bigger picture. And when you can find a plan that includes all of those noble, noble things. I mean, who wouldn't want to bring an end to all war? Who wouldn't want to make it so that every human being can live in peace and harmony? Who wouldn't want there to be no sickness, no disease, no hunger? Look at the 35th chapter of Isaiah. You're going to see that those are things that are prophesied as part of this great big plan. We have a call, Jonathan. We're going to have to take it very quickly.
Welcome to Christian Questions. This is Jonathan and Rick. Who are we speaking with?
My name is Larry.
Larry!
Welcome to the program, Larry.
Good morning. I wanted to compliment your guest. I think they're very talented, and I was just touched by their songs.
Well, thank you. You should have seen their faces while they were singing.
I'll bet it was beautiful.
It is, and it still is. They're
I'd
here.
Like to say bonjour, je sais, comment ça va?
Oh, we heard some French on the air.
That doesn't make me a bad person.
Of course not.
I would just like to say very briefly, you know, when we think about the Lord's, you know, what our intention should be, oftentimes we say, you know, God's will, what is God's will for me? I was talking to a young man this week, and he was saying, how do you know God's will? And I think we need to start with what God's will is not for us.
Okay.
And if we start with that, we will quickly get to know what God's will is. You know, God's will is not for us to drink a drug. God's will is not for us to do harm to another human being, or, you know, to do anything sinful.
Uh-huh.
We know that is God's will.
Right.
And I think if we stop there, we'll quickly know what God's will is for us personally.
That's a good way to focus on the intention.
And thank you very much. God bless.
Thank you very much, Larry, for calling. We appreciate it.
Take care.
And everybody in the studio couldn't hear him because we don't have enough headsets to go around, but he was very, very impressed by your singing. And you know, he brought up an important point. You want to know God's will. Okay, great. What is it? Well, what is it not? What are things that are outside of the will of God? And you know what? This comes down to what we know and what we feel. And if we act in what we feel, sometimes we can ignore those things that are right and true and honest and good and just. If we act based on what we know, chances are we'll end up doing much more of the right thing. And I'm not talking about what you think you know, but deep down in your heart, the conscience that guides your basic life. We know when we're going off the path.
It's true.
But we just say enough things to ourselves to ignore that, to bury it. And, you know, you've got to, and you can build that body of knowing by studying the right things. And you go to the scriptures and you find a guide for living. It's a wonderful, wonderful guide. So, folks, we are talking about living with great intention. Fred, what is our time frame here?
About 3 minutes or so.
You know, you'd think I'd know this after doing this all this time. I can never figure out when this thing ends. all right, we don't have a lot of time for a lot of scriptures. So, again, let me give an opportunity for any of our young folks to give us a final thought as to what they think about, what they've learned about, something that they're going to take home, some way that learning about the life of the Apostle Peter has helped them to become so much more focused and more intentional, because that's just a big, big, big thing here. And as we look for the brave one to come forward, let's look at another scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 to 18. It's okay, Renee, go ahead.
For the Lord's sake, accept the authority of every human institution, whether of the emperor as supreme or of governors, as sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to praise those who do right.
For it is God's will that by doing right you shall silence the ignorance of the foolish. As servants of God, live as free people, yet do not use your freedom as a pretext for evil.
These are words of wisdom.
Honor everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Slaves, accept the authority of your masters with all deference, not only those who are kind and gentle, but also those who are harsh.
See, the Apostle Peter was not telling them to revolt. Revolt against all of the insecurity and all of the injustice of the world. He was telling them to work through it because you're dedicated to something much larger than these things. So he says, you know, you've got to have it in your mind, that intention to move forward. Go ahead, Ian.
Well, I learned that, well, Peter had great intention, and intention means to have a determination to live in a certain way, and I want to be that way like Peter.
All right, to have a determination to live in a certain way. Jonathan, let's wrap this up. I want to talk about the very last scripture here, 1 Peter 1:22. Because remember you had asked me, Simon Peter, when he was talking to Jesus, after Jesus was resurrected, Jesus was saying, "Do you love me?" Mm-hmm. And Simon was answering with a different word for love.
Yes.
Let's read this one scripture.
"Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently."
He now uses the word that Jesus used. He uses, and that's the Greek word agape, which is that selfless love that gives without an expectation of return. It gives for the sake of giving. He's saying, he's preaching, he is living what he began to understand that he couldn't fulfill. And strove for and worked towards with great diligence and with great intention. And here, right near the end of his life, he's saying now he has learned to live it, so he can now pass it on. And he's saying, make sure that you love one another, love, that selfless love that gives without any thought of receiving back, with a pure heart fervently. Why does he say that? Because Jesus did it with him. Jesus showed him the meaning of that love, and he learned how to master it for himself and pass it on to others. That, my friends, is a life lived with great intention. For you, live your life intentionally day by day, because when you do so, things are better overall. For Jonathan and Rick.
And thank you for all the guests coming.
This is Christian Questions. We will be back again next week with another subject, but until then, what is your intention? Think about it.